shout of praise. God, you are worthy. God, you are holy this morning, Lord. God, we worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you give. God, you take away. God, if we get you in return, God, take everything away, Father God. Take it all, Lord. Take it all, Lord. We worship you. We worship you.
Turn all of heaven.
out, church. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. In Jesus. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. In Jesus.
Give you glory, Lord.
So worthy are you, Lord.
Praise your name. You're so worthy, Lord. Oh, we praise your name. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we invite you, Lord, to fill this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. The Lord is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. How many were here last Sunday? Let's see, how many people? Like three people. No. So a lot of you are in for a new type of Sunday. What we are going to start doing as a body of believers, a family of faith, as being encouraged by the Lord, is to have and give you an opportunity to have communion every Sunday. And it's always been a great concern of mine for communion to become something that is just tradition. So we had it like every other month. Then the Lord really started challenging me on that communion is participating with Christ in such a way and with the Father that we gain a oneness, common union with him. So we moved it to once a month. Then last week, which I encourage everyone in this house to listen to the message, it was just revelation straight from the Lord. I hardly planned anything. But it was on the life is in the blood. And obviously, there's a revelation and understanding that I think we've missed as a body of believers. That there's more to communion than just a cup of grape juice and a piece of bread or a cracker. That literally, somehow, some way, those take a dynamic, supernatural form when we take them. And that somehow, some way, we end up drinking the life of God, which is in the representation of the blood of Jesus. Scriptures that were shown to us last week is that the Israelites, Jews, could not eat meat or eat the blood of animals because the life is in the blood. Abel's blood spoke up from the ground with his voice probably saying, I've been killed unfairly. My blood is innocent. So today I want you, during worship, to pray, consider in your heart about how you would step into that work of the cross, the representation of that sacrifice that Jesus did for you and me, the price that he paid, and how he says that this juice right here is the new covenant, and it's in his blood. But it's not only that, it's life. And I believe that as he said, as you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have life. So I want you by faith to drink and eat not just a couple of emblems, but literally participate in union with Christ's suffering and receive the benefits of that. That when his body was broken, it was broken for you and I. And when we eat the bread, I'm only going to pray over it now, but when we eat the bread and we drink, and you don't have to make a line, you just, as the Lord leads you, come up and just take it personally. Come up and take it as a family if you want to. But this is a new day for us. And it has been directed by the Lord for us to do this. And I believe that we are going to see and reap the benefits of it because of the power that's in the communion table. Early church knew this. Seems like the Catholics knew this. Somehow we lost it as the evangelical Protestant church, that this that we get to do, this act that we get to do, this representation of the power of God by the Lamb being slain from the foundation of the earth, and then actually literally happened 2,000 years ago, and his blood was spilled for you and I, that now when we drink this, we drink the life of God. And we eat this piece of bread. We participate in the Lord's suffering, I believe, but also reap the benefits that that brings. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us. Never let us, Lord, take that lightly. Never let us, Lord, take that for granted. If anything, Lord, magnify it in our hearts. Let it become so powerful to us, God, that communion is something that we don't just do at church, Lord, but we take it home. We participate with you and commune with you and have common with union with you at home. We thank you for your blood, Lord, that was spilled. We thank you, Lord, that your blood is life. And Lord, today as we participate, I pray that we would receive the benefits and the life flow that this communion table represents. And we bless the name of the Lord. We do. We give you glory, glory, Jesus, because you're the one that has made all this possible. We could not even be standing here today if it wasn't for you. We are grateful. We are truly thankful. We are blessed people. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Please.
Let's just sing that one part one more time. My heart will sing. And my heart will sing. Thank you.
That
can sometimes be difficult to relate to. I know for me, as much as I feel the Lord is drawing me close to His heart, and I sense Him and His presence so much greater, even when I'm not even thinking about Him, sometimes it's just like, wow, You're here. But when I hear, behold His beauty, behold His beauty, in a way I feel like a hypocrite. Because right now it's just by faith that I see it. But I believe God is taking us as a people of God, as a believers in this hour, so to speak. That the Holy Spirit's present truth is, my children, come up here and behold His beauty. Behold His beauty. So I, a lot of times, find myself just closing my eyes, because even as nice as this place might look, it's got no comparison to, I know what heaven's like, His glorious realm. And I know He has given us sight in this day. Could have told me that 10 years ago and I would have said, you're crazy. But today I would say, amen. And I would say, have you seen Him? Have you seen the place that we thought was just reserved for us when we passed this life? See, we are the Enoch generation. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that we're not meant to just be bound by gravity. We're not meant to be contained in this atmosphere. And it's going to take faith, as it did for Enoch, seventh from Adam, who said, I know there's a fiery cherub around that place, but I believe there's one coming, as was promised. And He will make a way. See, it's only by the blood of the Lamb that you enter into that place. So somehow, someway, Enoch caught the revelation that Jesus was the way back to the tree of life. So I believe there's an atmosphere in not just this place, but in the supernatural realm of the kingdom of God that is being poured out in this day. And it is, not going to come to pass. It is here now, but it's going to take a stepping into. It's going to have to take you moving beyond any unbelief, any things that you did not understand previous, and say, God, I receive. It's a glorious time to be alive as saints of God. So I want to encourage us to listen to this song again. I believe it's a song sent from heaven to challenge our normal thinking, to challenge our ways that have contained us in a natural realm when we are meant to be supernatural. We are new creations, blood-bought saints of God that are no longer of this creation. We're here, but we're no longer of this creation. So would you join with me in faith and sing the song again? And I ask you with your full heart, as I will, to step in by faith to where we will see His beauty and bright lights.
When I look upon the glory of Your throne, and I'm blinded by the love that flows, and nothing on this earth compares to You. You're all I'm holding to. His beauty.
Behold His beauty. Behold His beauty. And behold His beauty. Behold His beauty. In bright lights. 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 Bright
Praise the Lord. Why don't you guys take a moment to greet someone? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have quite a few babies that are sick. There's a nasty thing going around, and so the mothers had to stay home with the kids today, so we'll pray for that. Plus, the whole Montgomery household isn't feeling well, so we're just going to pray right now for those two situations. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, for Ada, God, and pray you just touch her body, touch Hank, God, right now, Lord, and any other children, Lord, that are being hit with this plague, Lord, we just ask that you would just bring healing to their bodies, Lord. Touch them right where they're at, Lord. We just pray a speedy recovery would come. We pray for the Montgomery family right now, Lord, that you would just allow your healing hand, Lord, to flow through that home, Lord, that that God, that whatever they have, Lord, would just be found out and be removed as trespassing, Lord, in that place. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can come before you. We can make these requests, Lord, and know, God, that you move, Lord, because you are moved, Lord, with our burdens. You're moved, Lord, with our needs. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Sammy would like to make an announcement. I just thought of it, Sammy, when I looked at you. So it's a great announcement, isn't it?
Pretty awesome. I'll stand up here. Get a little closer to heaven. All right. Well, I just wanted to say how thankful I am for all of you first. You guys, I'm just really thankful for everybody here. This church is amazing, and you're all so warm-hearted and welcoming, and I feel like you're more family to me than some of my own family. So I just wanted to announce that next Saturday, May 24th, Jenny and I are getting married. And woo! And it's going to be right here, and so we're inviting everybody. It's going to be starting at 4 o'clock, and then we're just going to have a reception downstairs, too. We're having a few dishes and stuff, so we don't expect any gifts or anything. But if you guys would like to bring some for a potluck or anything like that, you're more than welcome. But don't feel obligated. We just want people to share in the love and enjoy it with each other.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's see. What we have the children come on up. All four? There's quite a few missing. D'Angelo, how you doing, bud? Is it just two of you? No, here they come. Okay. Hi, guys. Praise the Lord. Would you stretch forth your hand with me? Father, we just pray right now, Lord, for your children, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, as we always do, that you would just touch their hearts and touch their lives, Lord. Help them, Lord, to realize, Lord, that it's now, Lord, as they're living now, Lord, that they can be used by you. They can be a testimony, Lord, of your love to someone's life. Lord, that they can share faith, God, with others, Lord, their faith, God, and that others will come to know you as Savior. And we just pray your blessing upon them. Today as they go, let them receive your word and help them to grow, Lord, in who you've called them to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to have Pastor Gay come up because I know she's got something on her heart. And this could be it. This could be the message. She could like, ooh. So get ready. I want to first of all say thank you to everyone who came and helped yesterday for the memorial service for Brenda Rogers. It was such a blessing to the family, and I just want to welcome the Rogers family, Willis family. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. And we're just believing for full comfort of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen. I don't care. Morning. So this morning I got a long distance phone call from a friend, and she was sharing with me because she's been praying for me this week, which I'm so thankful for. But she's been praying for me, and she really felt that God gave her a scripture, particularly for me, but she felt like it might be even for our church. And so as we're sharing together about the scripture passage, which we both are very familiar with, we were actually talking back and forth about the revelation that was coming to us as we were sharing together. And then when we came in this morning early for prayer, and I opened my word, which is not my word, it's my iPad, but this is where I read my Bible. I love reading the Amplified because it amplifies it. And the scripture that came up is John verse 11, and it says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. And I don't know when I was reading that this week, but I was. But in parentheses is the actual scripture that she called me with this morning to encourage my spirit. So I felt like this was from the Lord. And when I woke this morning, I was awake late into the night, and I always stay awake to pray for my husband. I was praying for Danny. I was praying for the kids. And when I woke this morning, I just knew that God had something special. I could feel it. Have you ever felt that? Like you just know, you know that you know what I mean? You know? And is that what Brenda always said, you know? Is that? Seriously, that's so cool. Anyway, as I opened it and I saw this scripture, I'm like, okay, Lord, you've got, that is so cool. You know, you are not a God of coincidence at all. And I just love him for that. So then I clicked on the scripture that was in parentheses, and it led me to Psalm 23. And so what she said was to me is, I know you probably heard this already yesterday. And I said, actually, no, that wasn't one of the scriptures. And so I know that there might be some fresh revelation for all of us today. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Oh, son, you are so precious. Thank you. Oh, thank you, honey. Anyway, and so Psalm 23, but I'm going to read it amplified, so it's going to go a little bit longer, but it is a short chapter, but I want you to get the revelation that she and I were getting together as we were sharing, and it is, says, the Lord is my shepherd. In parentheses, it says, to feed, to guide, to shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in, parentheses, fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life. My, and there's a space, myself, and that means the depth of who I am. He refreshes that. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, parentheses, uprightness and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. And this is where it gets so good. Yea, though I walk through, parentheses, deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you. Capital Y, for you, God. It went from he to you. It became so personal in that break between those two passage scriptures there. It went from he to me and you talking about him like far off to you. You, God, you. He makes it personal. At this one point, when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, you, when we're walking through the valley of the shadow, it's not our death that we're walking in, but the shadow of another death. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that that's talking about all of us. That's not talking about Bryn. She's with Jesus. But we're right now in the shadow. There was not one of us that was not affected by Brenda's life. She either greeted you when you walked in the door, she hugged your neck, she went on a conference. She laughed and joked and would always say, oh, you cracked me up. She affected every one of us somehow. And if you didn't let her, she did it anyway, because that's the type of personality she was. But she's not in the valley. We are. We're walking a new path that none of us have really ever walked before, because, you know, she was our friend. She was the person that we worship God with, and she was so close to all of us. But though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear or dread any evil, because you, God, you're with me. I don't have to walk it alone. We don't have to walk it alone. We have somebody that loves us so much, that cries with us, that hurts with us, that grieves with us. He's walking right beside every one of us as we walk this new journey. We're not by ourselves. He's not standing afar off saying, you can do this, but do it under your own power. He gives strength, and he's going to give us joy. Sorrow comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And he's giving that freely to all of us. Whether Brenda touched your life in a small way or a very big way, he's given that to us all freely, just like pouring it down on us. Your rod, still personal. That rod means to protect. And your staff, that means he's guiding us to guide. They comfort me. Can we find comfort today? Not us searching for it, not us hoping for it, not us wanting it so desperately, but because he's giving that comfort. It's coming straight from him. It's like a rain shower that's pouring down, but you choose to use an umbrella so you don't feel it. Take the umbrella away. Feel the rain of the Holy Spirit coming down, bringing comfort, touching each one of us, just pouring down on us gently, lovingly, like not drenching, not a deluge where it's going to just overpower you at any moment, just softly and gently. So precious. That's how precious our God is. He gives it as we need it, and we can receive it freely, and at points where you don't even know what to say, it's just like you're just like, okay, I just need it, and just take it. It's like you don't have to perform for God. He knows who you are, where you are, and how you are. You don't have to perform for him in any way. He doesn't expect you to jump through 20 hoops in order to receive the comfort and the peace that you need. He gives it to you. You do not have to do anything for it. The old way of church where you felt like you had to sing 20 hymns and then, you know, do all the prayers and all the things. God doesn't want that from us. He doesn't expect that from us. He doesn't desire that from us. He wants this, the real me, the real way I am. And if I'm a mess, and I have been a mess at times, he takes it and he brings beauty out of that nastiness. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Guide us today, God. Direct us, God. Protect us, Lord. That's what he gives without us even having to do anything for it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What is that? Like, what is that? It's not going to be an army that's coming at you with guns blazing. It's going to be those thoughts that pop into your head from the enemy. It's going to be those emotions even that we can't trust that's going to sway us at times that we're just so unaware until all of a sudden it happens. Sometimes those are the very enemies he's talking about, because sometimes, you know what? We just want to be mad at God. Sometimes we are just mad at God. Do you honestly think you're shocking him by that? He knows who you are. He made you that way. He's like, okay, give me your anger. I'm okay with that. I can handle it. My sweetie, come on, bring it. Just give it to me. Be mad at him if you have to be. He's not going to disown you for it. He's not going to disown you for the emotions he made you with. He's going to take those and he's going to use those things for good. So those are the enemies I'm talking about. It's not the obvious things. It's not the obvious ones that we easily say, oh, wait, oh, there's an enemy. It's the ones that sneak at you, that get you when you're not expecting it. And that's what God is saying. That's what he's saying when he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What's that mean? That means you get all the goodness that he has, even though those thoughts are coming or those feelings are overflowing on you or any of those other things. You get a banquet right there in the presence of all of that. And he is not feeding you bread and water. It's the best kind of food. And you don't gain weight from it. I mean, it's the good stuff. You understand what? It's the good stuff. So when he prepares this table in the presence of your enemies, you get to eat freely and as much as you want. Take what he has, the gifts that he has, the goodness, the love, the acceptance, the things that we long for as our weak humanness in here. We long for things like, you know, that no one person can give you. I love my husband. I adore my husband. I mean, he is the thing. But he is not everything. God is. God is who we need. He may be great. God is greater. Amen. You anoint my head with oil. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to get you through. That's what's going to take you to the end, where then it's your turn to stand before the Lord and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the anointing that he's talking about, is let me cover you. Let me cover you so that you can make it through to the very end, because you can't make it through because of me, not because of you. My brimming cup runs over. It's not a cup that is only half full and then all of a sudden it just, it's a continual running into that cup as you need it, but it's brimming to the top and running over. We don't have to go empty before we hold the cup out. The cup can be continually full, even in the midst of our brokenness, our missings, our not understandings. Even in there, the cup can be continually always full and then running over. Surely, or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his very presence shall be my dwelling place. What do you do now? Where do you go now? You dwell in him. That's where you go. And you stay there. You don't have to find a new place. You don't have to do anything. You just stay in him. You dwell in him. That word dwell reminds me of the word abide. And that abiding means that you are completely connected to. Abiding in him. You're so connected to him. And you want others to see you and him where there's no line division between you and him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, if you're with somebody, like my husband and I are with each other, and we always hold hands. Everybody says you always hold hands. But you can see the defining lines between fingers and hands. But if we're in God and he is dwelling in us, if it's that kind of dwelling place, there will be no defining line between you and him. People will just see him. That's our job now, is to dwell so deeply in him that no one can tell the difference. That's what we do now. That's where we go now. God is so good. And his mercy endures forever. We sang a song this morning and it says, I will choose to say, blessed be your name. This Christian thing, this Christian walk, it's a choice. And when bad things come, sometimes we have to physically choose to say, blessed be your name, God. Blessed be your name. No matter what. No matter what.
I guess this is tag team. We'll see how well the Holy Spirit orchestrated this. Turn with me to Psalm 34. So we're both in Psalms. I think it was Friday around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was just doing some stuff out in the yard and listening to some audio, and immediately I had the Lord say in my heart, which he does a lot of times, is magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name together. Let's exalt his name together. And I knew I was to really go and look at that, and I really did not get an opportunity till last night. So I had been pondering, and I had been driving around and going different places. And I first of all, I want to mention that this psalm is an unusual psalm because of the circumstance that David wrote it. When you hear about this, you think that this sounds like a psalm that you'd hear David saying after he came from the victory with Goliath. But this is a psalm that David wrote after he had to pretend to be insane. Literally, he was drooling in his beard and acting like a madman so that the people that were surrounding him would not take him and kill him. They said, well, he's just a madman. We're not going to deal with him. And they let him go. And it says that this psalm came out of that. And what it shows me is that David never took that incident and said, well, I got out of that because I acted insane, I drooled it. No, God didn't do that. But David realized that everything that he did, his intellect that he had to do that, his ability to act, because he must have been a pretty good actor, because he fooled everybody that he was insane, that he realized those came from God. And that he was not just there on his own, but he was being supernaturally empowered. So I'm going to tell you that we do not realize how much God is involved in our life. We think sometimes we've come up with our own ideas, our own plans, our own ways of doing things, and a lot of times we take credit of it ourselves. Look what I did. Look how I got out of that. Look at how I've achieved this place in life, when really, folks, we did nothing. It was only by the grace of God and the empowerment of God. It's only because, even when we didn't know it, he was leading us by that still water. He was helping us get all of the enemies of life at least cleared off enough so we could move on. See, really, we can't take much credit ourselves. We really shouldn't. So I believe the more that we say, you know what, it's you, Lord, it's you that empower me to do everything, the more he will empower you to do greater things. Listen to this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers him out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That's what I'm talking about. Having a broken heart and a contrite spirit. David could have easily said, I don't have to think that way. I just acted crazy. Acted very crazy. I don't know how I would drool in my own beard. That'd be really weird. But in other words, he
He could have taken credit, but he realized that it was God's grace that got him out of that situation, that God gave him the ability. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. That's a prophetic utterance that David made probably 1,000 years before Messiah. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Let's go back to verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. This word in the Hebrew means to grow, means to make bigger. And if you think about, what do we do with a magnifying glass? Anybody ever have a magnifying glass as their kid, or look at stamps, or you start looking at it, wow, I didn't know that all that intricate, or the dollar bill, I didn't know all that intricate detail was there as you put it under a magnifying glass. Now, another thing you could do with that same dollar bill, be very difficult, but if you made that dollar bill bigger, if you made it so that it was so big that you didn't need a magnifying glass, you would then start to see the detail. You start to see how it was made up. Folks, that's what we have to start doing. We have to start letting Holy Spirit enlarge our view of God. We cannot let it be limited to what is contained just in the book. We have to realize that God is bigger than the book. Do you guys realize that? That would be like me reading love letters from my wife and saying, this is gay. That's ridiculous. No one would, if I tried to say, these amazing, and she writes amazing love letters, believe me. She writes amazing cards. I could read them to you. And literally, you guys say, those need to be in Hallmark cards. Giving her props. But it's the truth. If I just read those cards, it's not gay, right? And yet we think that reading the Bible is all the God we need. Folks, Jesus said, come to me. Literally, personally, drawn to him. A personal, intimate experience. We have got to let God become magnified in our lives. Magnified in our eyes. And how do we do that? I believe the answer is we exalt his name. We start giving him praise. We start looking at his work in our life all the time, realizing that just in Psalm 23, he's the one who took us through all of that. He was the one sustaining us. Give him credit. Give him credit. David should not have had to give God credit if he was working as a natural man. Yet when he left that situation, not after he defeated Goliath, I could see after he defeated Goliath, yeah, exalt the Lord, let's magnify him. Holy cow, did you see that giant fall? No way could I have done that on my own. No, but after he did an act that was so self-reliant that most people would say, oh yeah, I got out of that. David said, exalt the Lord with me, let's magnify him, let's glorify him. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, we have got to realize that he's involved in our lives. That every single day, God is working. That angels are around us all the time, taking care of us. We've got to start looking at the little details. And the only way that's going to happen is if we make him big. See, God is big, but how big is he to you? How big is he to me? How big have we let him become? How small have we made him? How small have we made him in containing his power, in containing his glory, in keeping him in a place that we're comfortable and every now and then we can look at, because we don't freak out when we see him. He doesn't mess with our theology or our doctrine or how we've seen him in the past or how we've been taught. Folks, we cannot go on the way we've been going on and survive in the days we live. We have got to magnify the Lord. We've got to make him so big that we see the little details. And you know what? Those details are going to lead us into all truth. I believe Holy Spirit is our divine guide. And if you grab his hand, he will take you on a journey of revelation and knowledge and understanding that you will be able to stand in the evil day. And you'll be able to do, having done all, stand. There is a glory that is in and about us now. That if we will magnify the Lord, if we will walk beside those still waters, let him be our good shepherd. Allow him to take us before a table that makes no sense, and our enemies even are confounded because we can feast no matter if they're around or not. Let's be people of faith. I believe, I heard a statement and I want us to ponder on it because I think it's what's happened to the church, is that we have let fear become our faith. We're so afraid of thinking about heaven, of interacting with a heavenly, which is our home, folks. And somehow we think we have to be in a certain position, and that's usually in the ground before we can start interacting with it. Where did this lie sound like it came from? Because I don't think God's up there going, well, once you die, then you can come and see me, or you can experience all of me. When Jesus is saying, come to me. When John the disciple is told, come up here. And get it, he was on the Spirit in the Lord's day. It was an unusual thing for him to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Maybe that was the day that he was given the instructions to write that book. But I believe John experienced that a lot. Folks, we have got to magnify the Lord. We've got to make him bigger than our boxes, because he is. But we won't reap the benefits. See, as long as we keep him in the box, we only receive the power of the box. As long as we keep God small, then he can only do small things in our lives. And he doesn't want to do small things in our lives. He paid too high of a price to let us remain the same. To let us be caught in a web of lies and deceit that keeps us from receiving a glory that has been freely given. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and stand. Honey, would you come up and pray with me? Because I believe we can pray together. Get the mic. Oh, we can't have them both on at the same time. I was on my toes, Jesse. I saw that. I kept a big squeal from happening that would have definitely killed the spirit. For a moment. What? Yes, sorry. Squirrel. Father, we thank you, Lord, that no matter what we've seen in the past or how we've looked at you, God, you're being magnified. Yes, God. You are becoming large, Lord, in this day. Yes. And we choose as your children, Lord, to allow you to become large. We choose, Lord, to let you bust out of our boxes. We choose, Lord, to believe what would normally not be believed because it would be impossible to believe with our natural mind. But, Lord, we will not be contained in our natural mind anymore. Sorry. So, Father, we just come before you right now with hearts of gratefulness,
yes,
with thanksgiving.
Yes, God.
And, Lord, we ask you to be fully magnified,
yes, Lord,
in our lives, in our eyes, in our hearts, in our beings. Lord, we pray that we would learn to walk with you. We pray, Lord, that we learn to just hold your hand, not walk away from you thinking we can make in our own strength through the valley of the shadow of death. God, we choose, Lord, to cling tightly to you,
yes,
and rely on you and trust in you no matter what the circumstances look like. Yes, Lord, we bless your holy name.
Yes.
We exalt you. We magnify you. We make you great. We make you huge, Lord,
yes,
so we can see all your amazing details. Hallelujah.
Father, as you prepare that table before us, help us to taste and see that you are good.
Yes.
Father, help us to not get our eyes onto the natural things, Lord, of this world, of our very lives, God, but help us to keep our eyes centered and placed completely on you, God. Father, as we drink from that brimming, overflowing cup, Lord, Father, help us to say that you are good. That there's no good in me, but you, God, are good.
Yes.
Father, as we walk out the following days, God, I just pray, Lord God, that as our eyes, Lord God, are used to gaze upon you, God, to see you clearly, God, I pray, God, that our focus would be so, I don't even know the word. It just that we're just so in focus with you, God, that we can't see anything else, God. Father, help us not to look at the things that are natural, but to see the things that are not seen, God.
Right.
Father, help us to desire you more, God. If we don't have enough desire for you to be bigger in our lives, Father, give us the desire.
Amen.
Father, if we're happy where we're at, God, make us unhappy in that way, God, that we would long for more of you, God.
Amen.
Father, I just pray over each one that stands in this room, God, under our voice, God, that you would bless each heart where they are, God, but move them on, God, in you. Father, just give them a longing, give them a desire for more of you. Father, I just pray, Lord God, as a body, that we would go where you want us to go, do what you want us to do, say what you want us to say,
Amen.
That we would not compromise anything, God. If we hear your voice, Father, that we are quick to obey, God. Father, may each life be blessed today. Let each heart be lifted up today in you, God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. If you want to give him a praise, yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, I believe it's probably, is it up on the web now, last week's message? Now, I never do this. You guys know this. I mean, every now and then I say you might want to listen because I'm mentioning something else. But I never do this. But I want you, please, to go and listen to that. I'm going to go listen to it again because I believe that for whatever reason, and I believe it's because he wants us to be whole, healthy, alive, full of life, that we start and understand this process of taking communion each week. And I know some of you say, well, that's crazy. Why would we take? Well, again, we have to realize that just because it seems, you know, absurd to us, and why do we need to take it? When you listen to that, I think we'll be able to have some fresh understanding of why it is so necessary to take it. I kind of noticed it was most everybody who was here last week that took it because there was a weightiness here last week. And I can't just reproduce that. I wish I could. But I believe if we listen to that and then go and read those scriptures, and there's more, but read those scriptures and ask the Lord to give you insight and wisdom and understanding. Because, folks, don't we want everything the Lord has for us? I don't think we want to be, you know, living a life as an orphan where we're worried about where our next meal is going to come from when we're sons and daughters of the King. Yeah, let's receive all that God has for us here. I know there's more in glory, but why receive only a limited amount when he's paid the price so we can receive an abundant life? Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Love you all. One more thing. It's onelifefamilyworship.org if you want to listen to the audio.